Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We are so glad that you're here with us today. And Cowboy Church has, we have testimonies, we have singing, we have a good sermon.
It's chock full. People say they want more time for more preaching. Well, we're going to jump right in and say, we're going to get after it right now.
Yep.
Right now, welcome to Cowboy Church. Let's go hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Jesus is the rock of our salvation, and we should always take everything that we have to the rock. Would you stand up? You've been sitting there for a little bit, and you don't have to stand up through the whole song. Just kind of get a little circulation there, wake yourself up. Thank God for a little bit of the sunshine that came through. When trouble comes like a hurricane, you're just about to go insane. Well, I know a place where you can hide. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, 'cause this house has an open door for all broken hearts and worried minds. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. When life hits you like a moving train, and all you see is thunder and rain, well, say a prayer and the sun will come shining through. And when your back's up against the wall, you're on the edge just about to fall, well, his hand will be there to rescue you. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. In the shelter of his love, the weak will be made strong. For a house will never crumble if he's the cornerstone.
Come on, put your hands together.
Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. Just take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock.
Sing it to the person next to you.
And take it to the rock. The unshakable rock.
Now, none of y'all looked at the other person.
Take it to the rock.
Come on, sing it to them.
The unshakable rock.
Here you go.
Why don't you take it to the rock?
Take it to the rock.
The unshakable rock. And take it to the rock.
Take it to the rock.
The unshakable rock.
I want you to give a person next to you, I want you to give them a big old hug and tell them you're glad they're here today, would you? And you can be seated anytime you want. I'm sure they've still got coffee over there if you want to go get a cup of coffee too.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and just to say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Now I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing. It's worth it, sounds like music to my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Because He first loved me. Oh, He loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it to Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
When you come in here and you sense God doing something, it's because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. When you come in here and fall asleep, it's because He's not anointing. And when you try to take God out of the equation, the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes with that. Everything has to be done through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at salvation encounter. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. How does this work? Well, Let's look at it. The first thing that happens when we have a salvation encounter is John 3, verses 3 through 7. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, those of you who've been looking at The Chosen, you have an affinity for this guy, Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," that's physical, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." When you have a salvation encounter with God, what happens is it's kind of like a birth. That's what he's saying. It's kind of like a birth. It's a spiritual birth. And you are born again. You're born what? The spiritual birth is the factor that's in you that allows you to overcome your sinful nature. Now, when you're first born again, you are a baby, a little baby. You need the milk of the word. That means you need assistance. You need people to help you. You need somebody to be your friend. You need somebody to pat you on the back. When a baby is born, they are self-centered. They are. They don't know how to explain it, but I'm hungry, and my diaper's wet, and I'm sick of this situation. Wouldn't it be good if they could articulate that? We'd know what to do. So we start guessing, and they run things because they're babies. Oh, there's so much that could be said about that. But as they begin to mature, as they begin to grow up, then they begin to understand that there's more to this than the bottle and the diaper and the discomfort that I'm feeling. We begin to communicate. We begin to understand they're living in a new realm. Before a baby is ever born, why in the world would they ever need to have communications? But now that we're born again, we need to be able to communicate. We need to be able to feed. Look, I asked them this morning, I said, I wonder what we would look like if, and I don't mean to be rude here, a cranky old man. I don't know how to do this without being a cranky old man. I'm just gonna go cranky old man on you, okay? How would it be if we actually looked around this thing and saw people, you individually, in your spiritual health instead of your physical health? We'd look like Biafra. We'd have so many skinny, shriveled up, unhealthy people in here. You would be embarrassed because the real you begins to show. If you haven't been feeding yourself, or if you're a little baby, or if you haven't been taking care of your walk with God, it shows. How embarrassing would it be for us to just be able to see spiritually where every one of you are? And see, that's really what we're dealing with now. So we're really guessing, except that the Bible's given us a lot of insights into maturity. We begin to understand what spiritual maturity is. It's, "Don't marvel, I say unto you, you must be born again." When you're born again of spirit, what happens is this. Your old carnal nature is your flesh, and it's your soul. Your soul is the part that Adam gave into that is sinful. And it wants to destroy you because it lines up with the devil, and he gets his alignment with how things are supposed to happen. And his whole job is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Your soul nature does the exact same thing, and it does it like this. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Every baby has it. Lust of the eyes. I don't want that. You walk into a store, 3 or 4 year old kid, they walk into a store. I want that, Mom. I want that, Mom. I want that, Mom. I want that, Mom. I want that. I want to say to the parent, get a handle on your kid. I'm a cranky old man. But unless you have an encounter with a living God where your spirit is born, It comes from being a stagnant entity into life. And if you're spirit man, if you're born again, you cannot perfect the person that God wants you to be without your spirit man eventually being in charge of the situation. Your spirit man is the part that lines up with the living God. Man, this is good stuff. But you can never find it if you don't have an encounter with a living God. Here's the details of the encounter with a living God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And people take this to say, well, I'm born again by faith. I don't have to put anything with it. I'm okay, you're okay. It doesn't say that. It says the encounter with God is a miraculous encounter with God, just like a baby does not have life unless God blesses it with life. It can be born without life. And so when God gives us spiritual life, it's a miraculous thing. But as soon as that baby's born, what has to happen to the parents? The parents, all of us, how many of you were mature when your first baby was born? Okay. There's two things that mature people real fast. Number one is when they get married and they're standing up there realizing they have, I'm going to be a husband. That will mature you. And the other thing that will mature you is when your wife comes home and says, I'm pregnant. Because there's a different life involved here. And if life is not involved, then the maturity doesn't happen. See, this baby, because he's born, now because he's been given the miracle of life, it works the same way in being born again. It's a miracle of life. But if that baby doesn't have somebody to nurse it, if he doesn't have somebody to grow it up, if he doesn't have somebody to nurture that baby doesn't continue to live the way that it should. And our Christians need to realize that just because we're born again, that we don't have it made, we have a start. And we have a start, and now that start is a marvelous, marvelous gift of life. But it comes with a responsibility. It's the same thing you tell your kids when you give them a dog. Here's your puppy. Now, this is how you feed it. This is how you take care of it. Here's your little shovel for the house. This is how you clean up after it. This is the collar you teach it to leave. You have to begin to take responsibility over your own spirit man, or he doesn't become effective for the kingdom of God. And that's the problem. You cannot have something that doesn't have God's miraculous salvation in it. You can't mature it unless God gives it life. So, this is what it includes. When you're born again, there's five areas that happen into your life, into this new birth. First thing that happens is conviction. It's conviction. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn there by the Father. Unless he's drawn there by the Spirit of God. No man comes to a walk with God unless there's conviction. And conviction is this, when God begins to, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's conviction. And with that knocking, you realize this is God knocking, and I am a terrible sinner. And see, the conviction always brings hope. Condemnation brings death. The devil will tell you, yeah, you need hope. You are a sorry individual. And you have never been able to improve yourself, and you never will, and you think you're going to be able to present that to God, and he will tell you how bad you are. He will try to destroy everything about you. But conviction always brings hope. He says, I've got hope here. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. And the thing that you want to overcome in sin, it won't happen unless you let me in. And I want to help you become the person that I created you to be. That's what he's saying. And without conviction, we never realize that we're sinners. Then the second thing is we have to align with his thinking. And the way we align with his thinking is we confess it. Here's a confession. Wow, I'm really a sinner. How many of you are kind of surprised at that? So what we do is we confess the obvious. We are sorry individuals. We are sin-motivated individuals. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life are in our everyday encounter because our mirror is our best friend, and we don't want to lose that because I'm important to hear. And when we realize that we can't do anything about it, we have to confess in order to come into alignment with God. So God brings conviction. Hey, with conviction, there's hope. Come unto me. Open the door. Let me in. Let's do something about this. The next thing we submit, God comes in, he looks at this, and he says, well, this is a mess here. This is the way we got to clean it up. And you go, oh, thank you, God. I'm so glad you're here so you can do that. No. Please, God, you just go ahead and clean it up. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm going to sit in my recliner and watch you. No. He's going to give you an assignment here. And that assignment has to do with him, and we'll talk about it in just a little bit, with him looking at things, evaluating things, and challenging us to be the people he wants us to be. So we submit to him. I submit to your will. I submit to your plan. I can't do this. You know I can't. I've already failed every way I can. I've got these skins on my nose from falling down so many times. I'm submitting to God. And then we repent. God says, okay, here's what you're going to have to do. This is repentance. I'm headed to hell. Stop. Turn around. I'm headed to heaven. I've repented. That requires us to go a different direction than what we were going. Sometimes it requires us to get away from some of the friends we've had. Sometimes it requires us to change jobs. Sometimes it requires us to change our areas that we live. It takes whatever God says I need, it takes. And then we accept because of a decision and because of a covenant that God and you make together. I am now a born again child of a living God, and I confess and accept that Jesus has forgiven me, and now I have a chance. And until I accept it, what you're saying is, I'm so bad you can't fix it, God, and that's not faith. God can help you turn around. I've heard so many people say, look, we're all bad, and it takes a lot of God's grace. Well, that's partially true. It's partially true. But the hiding deal behind it is, I don't have to change the way I live, and that's a crock. That's my cranky old man part again. Sorry. The second thing that our faith has to happen to our faith is we have to have a deliverance faith encounter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, it says, for by it, this faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. See, when you have an encounter that is a life-changing encounter, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, the next thing he begins to do is he begins to clean you up, straighten you out, and guide and direct your life. And what he will do is he will challenge you over the sins that you have allowed to destroy you.